You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
The 2021 NBA trade deadline has come and gone, and despite the Kings being fairly active, it was once again another dull deadline for Sacramento. They did make some minor moves with the major pieces, Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, Harrison Barnes. They are still here in Sacramento. We're going to run through the moves that the Kings did make. Also going to look at what the Kings staying put with their major pieces means for the remainder of this season, the play-in tournament push, and how it sets up for a very interesting and extremely important offseason for general manager Monty McNair. We're talking about it all on today's post-trade deadline edition of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off-season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And the Locked On Podcast Network today has absolutely been killing the coverage of the trade deadline. A live show that lasted 4 hours leading up to the deadline itself. I was featured on that show for about 15 minutes talking about the Kings. That was before we found out that the Kings ultimately didn't make any major moves. Plus, all of the local and national Locked On NBA podcasts and hosts are doing a phenomenal job covering the moves that their teams made and didn't make. Biggest winners and losers from this trade deadline are still yet to be determined, but I'm easily giving the Chicago Bulls a gold star for how they were able to acquire Nikola Vucevic. And I applaud the Denver Nuggets for managing to bring Aaron Gordon into that important, exciting team. This episode of Locked On Kings is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me, covering the Kings both as an on-air host and multimedia journalist. And do your thumbs or fingers hurt? I've spent all morning on my computer, on my phone, refreshing Twitter, looking at rumors, reading news. I am exhausted from that alone, but my fingers and thumbs look like they've put on about a pound of muscle with all the scrolling I've been doing. Hopefully you've been the same way. It was an exciting start to this trade deadline, right? With all the fireworks, the Chicago Bulls and Orlando Magic agreeing to that Vucevic trade pretty early on. It got pretty dull, the Kings making some minor moves in there. In the end, though, not too many major fireworks. At the very, very end of the deadline, actually a couple minutes after the deadline itself, we did see the Victor Oladipo move to the Miami Heat. So there's lots to talk about around the Locked On Podcast Network. Here, though, on Locked On Kings, let's talk about the minor moves that the Kings made, and it started with a move last night after the Kings win over the Atlanta Hawks in what was a very exciting and fun game. I'm not going to spend too long talking about this game itself because nobody cares about that. Everybody cares about the trade deadline, but I do want to really quickly touch on the game that De'Aaron Fox had. 37 points. He's making 30-point performances look easy. I believe he had 24 points at halftime, and he did so first by establishing his outside shot and then getting to the rim, making him virtually unguardable. The Hawks threw 3 or 4 different guys at him. They started with Trae Young. Young was getting torched from the very beginning. And Trae Young, what a game that he had, right? Finishing with only 1 3-pointer, but he was absolutely lethal in the lane. His floater is about as effortless as I've seen. But De'Aaron Fox was the man of the night, and he has clearly emerged as that superstar for the Sacramento Kings. Now, it's only a matter of time before Fox is actually awarded with an All-Star nomination and an All-Star, making an actual All-Star team, participating in the All-Star game and representing the Sacramento Kings. That's hopefully coming, but I've seen enough this year to know De'Aaron Fox can be the man here in Sacramento. He is the right guy to build around, and Monty McNair offering that max contract was absolutely the right move. Love to see that. Love to see the continued success for the backcourt of De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton. I saw someone tweet out, with everything that's going on, all the worries that we have for the Sacramento Kings, we don't have to worry about this starting backcourt for the foreseeable future, and that's very exciting. But enough about that. Let's talk about the moves that the Kings made. Immediately following this game, the Kings made a trade. Corey Joseph, it was weird. He was not there during warmups. Then he came out right before the game itself started, and there were reports of him on the bench kind of hugging his teammates, and you could tell something was going on. But then Corey Joseph was subbed into the game and played a major part in the game last night. He wasn't phenomenal by any means, but he was very important to the Kings' victory, in my opinion. Had a solid game, and then we found out just minutes after the game that he had been traded. So it's pretty clear that he knew that he was being moved before the game itself. I don't know if he played in this game because the Pistons didn't really care. I don't know if the Kings negotiated having Corey play in last night's game to give the Kings a better chance to win, or maybe Corey Joseph just wanted to keep that consecutive games active and games played streak alive. Regardless, it was an odd situation, and it didn't surprise me at all that Kojo was traded after the game itself. We weren't sure whether or not the Kings were going to be buyers or sellers, and with their first move, it was a buyer move, as the Kings traded Corey Joseph and a pair of second-round picks to the Pistons for guard DeLon Wright. Now, Wright is a 28-year-old, 6'5", backup guard. He's been averaging 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in around 29 minutes per game for the Detroit Pistons. I really like this move for Sacramento. You talk about finding a capable backup, a ball handler, someone to bolster that bench now that Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox are both in the starting lineup. It's a good move. He is a physical guard, a scrappy guard, capable of running an offense, more of a playmaker than Corey Joseph is. I'm not going to pretend I know a ton about the guy, but from what I've seen in his career so far in the NBA, he looks like that type of guy that McNair wanted to add. Scrappy, physical, smart player. But the salaries with this trade is where it gets interesting. Because Corey Joseph, yes, technically his contract says $12 million next year, but only $2 million of that is guaranteed. Wright has $8.5 million guaranteed next season. The likelihood of the Kings keeping Corey Joseph and his $12 million contract was extremely low. So essentially, the Kings added an extra $6+ million to their payroll. That's a buyer move, not a seller move. And I know that confused some fans. Giving yourself less wiggle room, less cap space to negotiate a Rashawn Holmes extension and other moves that you might want to make this offseason. But then that led us to believe that more moves were coming. So we transitioned to trade deadline day today, and the first move that was made, which didn't surprise anybody, sending Nemanja Bjelica to the Miami Heat, where he had been connected to really all season long, for Mo Harkless and Chris Silva. I thought the Kings were going to get a second round pick and a player for Bjelica. No pick in this trade. Two players that I highly doubt will be on the Kings beyond this season. Mo Harkless is a seasoned NBA veteran, 27 years old, 6'7" wing. However, he's only played in 11 games this season because he's dealt with some injury issues. I imagine if he's healthy, he could get some playing time for the Kings in this play-in tournament push for the remainder of this season. Highly doubt the Kings really look at him long-term unless they're re-signing him on a small deal. As for Chris Silva, 24 years old, 6'8", power forward, really a raw prospect. He's a good story, though. He actually left home of Gabon, Africa, at 14 years old to pursue an NBA dream. He has a $1.78 million team option going into next season. We'll find out more about this young man, I'm sure, over the final few months of this year, but as of right now, I would wager that the Kings will not exercise that option, let him walk, and clear that money off the books. Final trade the Kings made today came in the final half an hour, and I thought it was going to be a precursor move for a Kyle Lowry trade in Toronto, but the Raptors decided to hold on to Lowry. They did send the Kings, though, Terrence Davis, for a future second-round pick. Terrence Davis, a 23-year-old, undrafted, 6'4", shooting guard, averaging 7 points per game, shooting 41% from the field, 36% from three-point range, and 89% from the free-throw line this season. Against the Kings earlier this year in January inside the Golden 1 Center, Davis went for 18 points, shot 4 of 8 from 3-point range against Sacramento. Now, almost every game, it seems, a relatively unknown player has a good night against the Kings. Let's see if he can carry that confidence to Sacramento while actually wearing a Kings uniform. He has a $2 million qualifying offer next season. No idea what the Kings will do with this young man, but he does provide shooting guard depth and I think has a realistic shot at getting some decent minutes. Maybe not a consistent rotational spot. I'm sure many would argue that it would be better to see guys like Justin James, Kyle Guy, or Jamias Ramsey get those minutes. But Terrence Davis is capable based off of what he's shown. The Kings acquired four players today while trading out two. At the deadline, they had 17 players but could only have 15, so they had to move on from two of them. Well, the first guy they moved on from deciding to cut is no surprise, Jabari Parker, the first to go. The second one, though, was surprising because I think the majority of us thought that it was going to be Hassan Whiteside. He could go into the buyout market and see if the LA Lakers or other teams would be interested in bringing him in for their playoff or NBA Finals push. But Hassan Whiteside is staying a King. I think Sacramento believes that he can really help them in this play-in tournament push. So who did the Kings cut? The young man that they acquired from the LA Clippers just a few days ago, Fiondu Cabangeli. That's the trade deadline for your Kings. No major moves. I'll talk about why I believe the Kings didn't make those moves and the effect that that's going to have on their upcoming offseason here in just a second. This trade deadline edition of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Sport Trade. Have you guys heard about Sport Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sport Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. Making money with Sport Trade is simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game as compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher their value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who always is a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares in as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sporttrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. You can sign up today at sporttrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You will be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sporttrade.com. I know I have some Locked On Kings listeners out there that made some money with all of the crazy and fun prop bets on betonline.ag surrounding this trade deadline. And hey, you can make some money tonight on the Kings and Golden State Warriors game. The Kings favored by 2.5 points against the Warriors tonight. A big game for Sacramento. I'll tell you why more later on in the podcast, but you can make money on betonline.ag, the official sports gambling partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. Whether you're betting on March Madness, NBA, NBA trade deadline, regular games themselves, the NHL, the MLB right around the corner, even awards, TV shows, and reality TV. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Look, I'm not going to tell you here on the Locked On Kings podcast that I completely understand and support all of the moves that Monty McNair and the Kings made today. I'm not going to tell you that they were the absolute right moves because I don't have enough information. None of us are going to know the conversations that Monty McNair and the Kings front office had during this trade deadline period and all of the days, hours, weeks, months leading up to the deadline itself. What I will tell you, though, is that I am disappointed that the Kings weren't able to move on from Marvin Bagley. I felt like he was the piece that made most sense that the Kings could have moved on from, take the $11 million that he is owed next year and use that to re-sign Rashawn Holmes. Instead, the Kings weren't able to trade any of their major pieces. I'm not surprised that they didn't trade Harrison Barnes. In fact, I support the fact that they didn't trade Harrison Barnes. And I'm not surprised at all that they didn't trade Buddy Hield, because we know Buddy Hield's market value was little to nothing at this deadline. The question is, did Monty McNair stick to his guns or did he not? It sounded like, and some people thought it was posturing, but it sounded like the Kings weren't just going to trade players just to trade them. And they weren't going to sell low on pieces, even if those pieces haven't necessarily worked out. The Kings weren't just going to give away Marvin Bagley for nothing because his value was so low. They still believe that he has some sort of value, and they were not going to allow themselves to be fleeced like former front offices have allowed themselves to be fleeced in the past here for this Kings organization. Monty McNair, it sounds like, stuck to his guns. And I don't want the leak to come from the Kings because it's bad to have leaks. I wish we could get a leak, though, of some of the offers that were made to the Kings for Marvin Bagley or for Harrison Barnes or even for Buddy Hield to get an idea of what kind of offers Monty McNair turned down. I'm fairly confident in believing. Now, I have no factual evidence at all, no source telling me that there were offers made for Marvin Bagley, but I believe he did have some interest on this market. I would not be surprised at all if it came out that a team tried to offer little to nothing of value for Marvin. We're talking second round picks and expiring contracts, not a first round pick, which is what reportedly the Kings were looking for in a Marvin Bagley deal. If that was the case and Monty McNair turned that down, I admire that. I really do admire that. However, for a guy who has preached flexibility, the guy who told us from the very beginning, what's most important to me, what I want to do going forward is establish flexibility, bring flexibility to this Sacramento Kings team. And we believe flexibility mostly means cap space. Put the Kings in a position to be major players in free agency or in the trade market down the road. If flexibility is that important to Monty McNair, which we know it is, he's got some work to do. Because the Kings took on money in this trade deadline, not send any out. They've got two major contracts with Barnes and Hield. They've got Fox's new major contract that kicks in starting next season. Marvin Bagley, because he's a number two overall pick, is owed $11 million, even if he is not deserving of that money. And through all that, the Kings are looking at a team that is basically capped before negotiating a new contract for Rashawn Holmes. Not to mention the addition of other players to fill out a roster. McNair is gambling a little bit. If he did have offers to take Marvin Bagley or Harrison Barnes or even Buddy Hield off of his hands and he said no because he didn't like the return, he's gambling that he will be able to either negotiate a small contract for Rashawn Holmes, which I don't think is going to happen, although there is the possibility that the Kings are really just bidding against themselves because we don't know, one, what the market value is going to be for Rashawn Holmes, and two, how much money other teams have that they'll be willing to compete with the Kings in a bidding war for Rashawn Holmes. We don't know any of that, but it is a gamble. McNair not giving himself much flexibility financially coming into this offseason. Now, that doesn't mean that the names on this roster right now, those big contracts, aren't going to be gone by this offseason. McNair is just kind of flipping the coin to see, was this the right time to try and move on from those guys? Was this the best chance to move on from some of those contracts? Or could you potentially get better value later? Could your patience, your persistence, maybe your stubbornness, could it pay off this offseason? I think if the Kings are going to have a legitimate chance of really bringing Rashawn Holmes back, which still to me has to be a top priority for this team, Rashawn Holmes is part of this core to me. It's Fox, Halliburton, Barnes, and Holmes. Those are the big four here in Sacramento. If you're going to bring Holmes back, which you should, to me, you're going to have to free up more cap space. So Monty McNair is in for a very challenging and extremely important summer where we're going to really find out, one, what his vision is, and two, how capable he is as the guy, the general manager of an NBA franchise. As for the remainder of this season, though, to me it's pretty clear what the Sacramento Kings are trying to do. Sorry, everybody who wanted to see the Kings tank and try and get a top five draft pick. That is not the vision of this team. The Kings are clearly going for that play-in tournament, and that is another gamble in itself, because if the Kings end up in NBA purgatory again, like they are right now, they miss out on the play-in tournament. They don't get that valuable experience for De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, and they end up with a late lottery pick. It's a significant missed opportunity in a year where the Kings aren't playing in front of any fans. Now, we still all have to watch or listen over the radio, watch on TV, and struggle through the suffering, the ups and downs that this team has put us through. But of all the years to potentially invite losing, this seemed like a year that made sense. But that's not what the Kings are doing. The Kings are going for it. The question is that Monty McNair's decision, or is that ownership's decision? I've already talked about that a little bit. I pray to God Monty McNair was not overruled during this trade deadline. I pray to God that Monty McNair didn't want to move Buddy or move Barnes or move Marvin Bagley, and Vivek or ownership said no. If that happened, this team is screwed worse than we all believe they are. But I have no proof that that took place, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. All I'm going to say is, the plan for the remainder of this season is clear. What every single Kings fan from this point out should be rooting for is the Kings putting together a push and making the play-in tournament. Then we can focus on the Kings actually fighting, winning the games they need to win to get to the playoffs themselves. One step at a time. Winning for the remainder of this season is the number one goal for this Kings team, and I think we should all be unified on that front. Now, there is a chance that the Kings could miss out on the play-in tournament and get lucky in the lottery, but that's the only chance that they're getting a top five pick in this draft. I'm sorry, that is true. There are teams that are clearly going for it. The Orlando Magic blew everything up. The Houston Rockets just lost Victor Oladipo for nothing. They're terrible. Not to mention the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Kings aren't getting a top five pick unless they get lucky in the lottery, so why not go for the play-in tournament right now? I don't necessarily 100% agree with that decision, but I understand it. And that's what we're looking at for the remainder of the season. That's why the Kings decided to hang on to Hassan Whiteside. That's why the Kings went out and acquired DeLon Wright and took on more money. That is clearly the goal. So that's what we should be rooting for from here on out. Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes, Fiat, Kia, and models, Pacifica, XT5, it is now impossible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And why wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? If you have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, you can get the parts you need easier. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Nothing can stop Built Bar Madness, not even the NBA trade deadline and all its chaos. Yes, Built Bar Madness continues as we are searching for the best tasting protein bar. You've heard me talk about Built Bar a ton. Built Bar is the low calorie, low sugar, but high protein and high fiber, delicious tasting protein bar that's covered in 100% chocolate. And as we are now in the enticing eight, after cookies and cream advanced over coconut almond yesterday, today's battle, mint brownie, my mint brownie, versus coconut marshmallow puffs. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be happy if mint brownie doesn't win and at least make it to the flavorful four. I will not be happy. I need you to rally around Mint Brownie for me. And if you're not a Mint Brownie guy, try the Mint Brownie Built Bar and tell me you don't like it. If you do, you have bad taste buds. That's all I'm saying. So Mint Brownie for the win over Coconut Puff. You can vote online at BuiltBar.com or you can tweet your vote to @bar_built. And remember, head to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So now that we're all kumbaya and we peacefully agree what the Sacramento Kings should do for the remainder of this season, now that we are all unified as a Sacramento Kings fan base, excited for the remainder of this season, elated to see the Kings make their push for that play-in tournament. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. I know many of you are not happy, but just go with me here. Tonight's game against the Golden State Warriors is actually incredibly important. Why? Because the Warriors are currently sitting in that 10th seed, which is the final play-in spot, 3 games ahead of the Kings. So a great opportunity for the Kings to close that gap. If the Kings win tonight, their season series with the Warriors will be even going into the tiebreaker game that could be very important between both those teams when everything is said and done. Not to mention, the Golden State Warriors are shorthanded with no Steph Curry. This is a very winnable game tonight. Like I said, according to betonline.ag, the Kings are favored in this game, even though it's the second night of a back-to-back. That being said, Sacramento has to handle their business. The Warriors didn't make major deals. Kelly Oubre is still with Golden State. However, the Warriors did trade Marquese Chris, so he won't be available for the team tonight. The Kings need to handle their business, and if they play the way they did versus Atlanta, I'm pretty confident. I'm looking forward to seeing how De'Aaron can build off of that 37-point performance. I'm looking forward to seeing what he and Tyrese Halliburton can continue to do. And with no Corey Joseph tonight, and with no Nemanja Bjelica, who is going to step up and take those extra minutes? Who do you think should? If you're listening to this before the game, let me know at Matt George Radio on Twitter or email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. And regardless of when you listen to this podcast, let me know your thoughts on the trade deadline as a whole for the Kings. Are you excited? Are you unhappy? Are you disappointed? Are you just pretty meh about the entire thing? Let me know at Matt George Radio on Twitter or email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. I'm planning on having Jason Jones from The Athletic, longtime beat writer of the Sacramento Kings, join me on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast. We'll get his perspective on the trade deadline moves and lack of moves. We'll talk about this upcoming offseason, the money needed to re-sign Rashawn Holmes. We'll talk about the Kings pushing for the play-in tournament and a lot more. Please join me for that. Please leave a review of the Locked On Kings podcast. If you haven't already, you can do so on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Hit 5 stars. Leave a little blurb about what you like, don't like about the podcast, any constructive criticism, why you would encourage other listeners to tune into Locked On Kings. And also, check out the rest of the great content on the Locked On Podcast Network, especially around the Locked On NBA side of things. You can get great local and national coverage on everything that happened during this trade deadline. Like, check out Locked On Bulls talking about their acquisition of Nikola Vucevic and the push that they're making in the Eastern Conference. And also, if you're a baseball fan, check out all the Locked On MLB podcasts. If you're a hockey fan, Locked On NHL, we have college sports. We have football, of course, as well. The Locked On Podcast Network has you covered for all your sports podcasting needs. Heck, we even have a podcast called Locked On Bets, which will help you make money on betonline.ag. So take advantage of that, enjoy that content, but you are not to replace Locked On Kings, you hear me? Enjoy that content, but make sure Locked On Kings is still your number one, still your hub. Keep joining me, and I appreciate all the support that you've shown this podcast so far. Enjoy the game tonight. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.